Hello, everybody. Hi, Antonella.
Hi.
It's Renita, and we're back for our Mentel All recap, Red Rose recap of episode 10. This is sort of what, like a reunion show where the bachelorette men tell all. So
That's why we call it the Mentel All. That's right.
And so we are super excited about this episode because it answers a lot of, I think it answered almost every question I had about the guys who departed.
Did you have a lot of questions?
I had a few. I had a question about whether, what was his name, Ron would come back. I had a couple questions about
Ron,
the Andrew situation. So yeah, I didn't have a ton of questions, but the ones that I had, I felt like they were answered. So with that, did you have any questions?
I mean, I don't know that I had a lot of, I mean, I will say I was very curious on the Ron leaving.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of curious if Andrew got fired because he's an idiot and I think he said what he said.
Right.
I don't like to think about it. And I would hope that he didn't,
mm-hmm.
but something tells me that he did.
Right.
And I feel more convinced that I didn't want to believe it until I saw what I saw this episode, which is the footage
right.
of the leaning and the smirk and the comment. And then his explanation of what he says that he said, there's no stinking way. All right. We'll get into that.
Yeah, we will.
So
but
that was
I,
a question.
Yeah.
That for me was a question.
Right. Right. Okay.
But
yeah, we'll certainly definitely delve deeper into the whole Andrew situation. But first off, we're joined by Mr. Chris Harrison and former bachelorette contestant turned bachelorette, and her suitor slash now husband JP, they show up on the show with Chris Harrison to do a live on the air ultrasound gender reveal.
Where does one begin with this?
I want to begin before I let you jump in because you were ahead of me in seeing this episode and you tweeted to me, I wouldn't do a gender reveal, but on live ultrasound. And I was like, no, I haven't seen it yet. What's going on?
Oh, I'm so sorry.
No, it was okay. I don't mind being spoiled. It was not really a spoiler for me, but as soon as I started watching, knowing that you had already seen it, the first thing I do is tweet you, like, what the F is this?
I was relatively shocked. They come out on stage, she's looking adorable, they're looking adorable, they're looking super happy, and then they announce they're moving to Miami.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where they live now.
I thought they lived in Connecticut, like where she was going to dental school. I'll have to look and make sure, think they were in
winter was bad, and I know winter was bad here in D.C., so.
Yeah, I believe that she ended up leaving Connecticut, and I think they were in New York City, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, dear.
So, yeah, it was a brutal winter.
Mm-hmm. So she's talking about that, and she's talking about, you know, happy stuff, and blah, 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 blah. And, I mean, the truth is, I guess, you know, we were there when she got, you know, she was looking for love. We got there on her journey.
Right.
I had to use those words. I couldn't help myself.
You do have to use
journey. We were there for her getting engaged, and we were there for the wedding. So why the hell not? Like, we're going to be there for the live birth, probably.
Oh, God. When she said it was going to be a live birth, I was like, that's the next thing I'm sure ABC has planned for this couple.
No kidding. I mean, I think it's an opportunity for a young couple to make some extra money, whether or not you're a dentist. I'm sure she's got some loans and whatnot she could pay off with some of this cash. So, hey, you know, whatever. But, I was kind of a little bit taken aback by the live ultrasound, which I thought to be, I think, somewhat creepy is probably...
That's a good description.
I thought it was really inappropriate.
I thought it was pretty.
Yeah.
I thought it was pretty inappropriate too. That's a really, really to me private moment. They didn't mind showing it, and that's on them. But everything ain't for everybody, and I'd say that I wouldn't do it, but hey, more power to them. So yeah, I thought, what the F too, and I was like, oh my God, I see what Aunt was talking about. I thought maybe
your jaw just dropped.
Yeah, I thought, what is, because I hadn't seen it, what is Aunt talking about? Maybe there's a shot of them at the doctor's office seeing a portion of their ultrasound.
That's what I would have thought as well. Like, I don't, whatever.
But you get to see the gel, you get to see, oh, and they have it, like, displayed on this huge big screen so the live audience can see it, too. Just bizarre.
Why wouldn't they?
Bizarre. So, but they are one cute couple, but that was a bit ridiculous to me as well. So, anyway.
Yeah.
Well.
I mean, it is what it is.
It is what it is. And next on the episode, which you have to really be committed to 2 hours of this show.
and a lot of commercials.
And a lot of commercials, which... was one, I like to watch it live because I kind of like to see what people are saying and interact with you and, text or tweet you. But that is one perk of watching it on, I watch it on Hulu and I DVR it and I watch it on Hulu sometimes. But you can skip over those commercials. So, ton of commercials.
Yeah. Okay, so they also gave us an interesting look into the new an upcoming Bachelor franchise edition. They got rid of Bachelor Pad only to replace that freaking cluster with Bachelor in Paradise, which should be even better. It looks like it's even better. How is that possible, you ask? Right. They go to a lovely location and have the same hijinks.
Yeah. Okay, so I never got into Bachelor Pad. I'm okay with a spinoff, like The Bachelorette's been, spun off from Bachelor. Then they had Bachelor Pad, and my reality show tastes have a limit, and I didn't go on to Bachelor Pad. But I have to say, Bachelor in Paradise looks like a complete shit show, and I am hereby stating that I'm all in. I gotta watch it.
How could you not? I have to. After you saw who was on it.
After I saw who was on it. Yeah, you got, from this particular sneak peek in the episode, they mention it many, many more times and peek some more. But at this point of a sneak peek, we saw Cody, we saw Markel, we saw Marcus, and the lovely Claire from Juan Pablo's.
So let's go. You want to go over the cast? I have the whole list.
You do? Yeah, let's. I don't know a lot of them. Some of them I recognize, especially the newer ones I recognize. But yeah, let's do.
All right. So we've got Brooks. Remember him from Desiree's season? And then he was the one who walked away at the end. And then
she was really in love with.
Yes.
Oh, God.
Okay, so he's on it. Okay. And he's from Salt Lake City. We've got Chris Bukowski, who apparently has no other job.
He has nothing to do.
He's from season 8 with Emily and then Bachelor Pad season 3.
Okay.
And, of course, he tried to get on this season with Andy Dorfman by showing up with roses. And then, did you know he was from Washington, D.C.?
I did not know.
Yeah, me neither. Let's see here. Christy Hansen, and she was with Juan Pablo's season. I don't remember her at all.
I don't remember her at all either. What did she look like?
Roy Cody from Andy's season. Everybody remembers him. He's like the really pretty-eyed fellow who wore really bad clothes.
And lots of hair gel.
Yeah. Danielle from St. Louis, Missouri. She was on The Bachelor season 18 with Juan Pablo.
Okay.
Curly hair. Nothing really special about her.
Okay. I'm sure she would agree.
Jackie, who is from Boca Raton, and she is actually from Sean's season. I remember her. Not a big deal, I think. Like, she got sent packing pretty quickly.
I think I remember her. She reminded me a lot of the young lady that recently passed away, I think. If I'm thinking of the same girl. Was she in the audience last night?
I think that she was not in the audience last night.
Okay.
No. Jesse Kovacs, which is the one, I don't know if you remember him, but he was from Jillian's season and Bachelor Pad season one. Mm-mm. And Kaylin is back, and Kaylin was Emily's season eight and then Bachelor Pad last season. He was the one who was hooking it up with, oh God, what was her name? It started with a T, and I'm like missing it. She was very thin. She was like the former dancer, and I want to call her like Tristan or something like that.
Okay.
No. Do you remember Kaylin? He was wealthy. He looked like he was in prep school.
I don't remember.
Yeah, from Houston, Texas. And then let's see, Lucy, the naked lady from Juan Pablo season.
Remember her? Okay, yeah. Annoying. Why wouldn't she be on
Can't
here?
Stand it.
Okay,
yeah,
now
I actually thought that she was in a relationship in real life, so I don't know what's up with that. Tassos from Denver, who was in Andy's season.
Okay.
I mean, what's going on there?
Right.
And then Zach from LA from Desiree season. I can't tell you if I fell over this guy who he is.
Right. That doesn't ring a bell.
Yes. In addition, there's Ashley Frazier, who was from Sean's season 17.
Okay.
Ben Scott, who again was from Desiree's season 9. Claire Crawley, who is, oh my gosh, love Claire because she's a whole hell of a lot of crazy from Juan Pablo's season. Who will she be making out with on the Midnight Swim?
Hmm.
Danielle McBride.
Doing it in the ocean.
That's right. That's salt water. That can't be fun.
No.
The Bachelor season 17, Sean's season. Dylan Pettit from Dylan. Oh, Dylan. Oh, we know Dylan. From
Andy's season.
Elise Mosca from Juan Pablo's season. And that was the one whose mom had initially plan to send a letter about the bachelorette or something, or about her being a bachelorette, and she died. Her mom died. Remember her? I remember her.
I think so. I think I remember that one.
Graham Bunn from Los Angeles, California, from The Bachelorette season 4, Deanna season, and Bachelor Pad season 2. No idea. Lacey Fadul from La Jolla, California. She was the one from Juan Pablo season. I liked her a lot. I remember she's the one who was, she worked in a nursing home type of thing. Like, I really liked her.
Okay.
Marcus from this season with Andy.
Yes.
Markel, as we know, from the season of Andy.
Yes.
Michelle Kuwaha,
mm-hmm.
I think, from Jake's season and Bachelor Pad season 1. Couldn't tell you if I fell over.
No.
Michelle Money, who I think I should know because I know the name.
I know that name, too.
Right. So she's from Brad's season 16 and Bachelor Pad season 2.
Okay.
Robert Graham from L.A., he's from Desiree's season. Again, no clue. And Sarah Heron, and I liked Sarah. She was nice. She was like the one. She was born without an arm.
Right, right.
Remember her?
Yes.
From Sean's season?
Yes.
Like a nice, nice girl.
Yes, I remember.
So,
a very pretty girl, too. I remember that.
Pretty girl.
She looks pretty. I saw her in the audience last night. She looks like she wants something so bad. I don't want to use the word desperate, but she just...
It's okay. Nobody's judging you.
I don't know that this is the right form for her to be meeting a gentleman, and she keeps putting herself out there, to use a bachelor term, in this kind of format, and I'm not really sure it's for her, and I'm not really sure Marcus is ready for this foray either, but we'll see when we tune in.
Yes.
Yeah.
So there's your cast. There's your cast for Bachelor in Paradise.
So
super
I know
excited
I,
for the season.
Yeah, I know more than I thought I knew.
That's what I'm saying. Our podcasts are going to be amazing.
Okay.
Let's do this.
This is going to be some good stuff. Okay. So
that's right.
We're done with the sneak peek. Oh gosh, let me turn my phone off here. And so we are. We're introduced to the fellows. They're all sitting on the stage, and we're introduced to them, and they're all donning scarves. I said, "Oh my God, the scarves!" years.
How did you feel about the scarf? I thought it was actually kind of funny.
I thought it was funny.
At least initially, and then I was like, kind of, okay. You know, I mean, it was funny for a second, and then I thought, okay. It would have been more funny if actually just some of the key players wore scarves, as right. opposed to everyone wearing scarves.
They all had on scarves, and...
Cody didn't look right in a scarf. Like, no. It just doesn't tie right. Some of these guys, you know, they're, like, too, like, doodly... You know,
you can't wear a scarf.
It's a word. I just make up stuff on
it's
this
okay.
Time.
It's okay.
It's okay. It's okay. It's Bachelorette. Okay.
Well, I thought it was nice that they made fun of themselves and thought it was also pretty funny too. But what I couldn't understand is how they didn't realize how ridiculous this looked during filming with all the many mentions by you and I of these crazy scarves that they were wearing the whole time. So anyway, they go down and introduce all of the guys, and one that I completely forgot about, who we kept forgetting about during the course of this season, was the opera dude.
Oh, right.
See?
I don't know anything about him, and I actually prefer never to see him again. Can we have him not show up anymore?
I thought we were done with him many weeks back, but we forgot completely about the Men Tell All, where they all get to show up again, so hopefully this will be the final time. Although there is the after the final rose, too. These guys don't show back up for that, though, so.
No.
Yeah.
Thank goodness.
So, Chris Harrison takes the time to talk to three of the guys. First up is Markell, where the first thing we do with Markell, I think, is we delve into that whole Markell Andrew, did he or did he not say something drama? Did he or did he not say something racist drama that JJ brought to Markell's attention? And you spoke very briefly on this at the very beginning of today's podcast, so this is our opportunity to finally clear this up. You say that you do believe that Andrew said something.
Yeah. I mean, what happens is you know, I love me some Chris Harrison, mm-hmm. because every once in a while, Chris Harrison just throws himself out there with these da-da-da.
Right. Oh, yeah.
So he says, oh, so you say he didn't say it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but we have the footage. And then you see Andrew kind of get, I don't have any worries. Because, I mean, what is he going to say? Oh, F me. Like,
right. Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
This happened.
Like, exactly.
I'm on a television show and they're filming every moment.
I'm lying to the very end.
What a stinking idiot.
Right.
So that's idiot number one,
mm-hmm.
Thing. And number two, like, you could see he was got all fidgety and his face looked super surprised, freaked out. Like,
yeah.
If you really got nothing to hide, you're like, ah, whatever, man, there's nothing.
Right.
Feel free to play it. Play mm-hmm. it up.
Roll whatever. That beautiful bean
Roll
footage.
That. Roll it up. But he immediately looked...
frightened.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Just... freaked out.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, I think that was incredibly telling. I didn't want to believe that he was said that because it's just such a stupid idiot.
I didn't want to believe
those
it either.
Two together. It's not just stupid or idiotic. It's stupid idiot move
right.
on a show that is a nationally televised show. Immediately you have to think, you know, I mean, you look at this over and over and over again. You have these incidents where, you know, people are on reality show. It is a reality. So, mm-hmm. you know, there are going to be people with idiotic views and
no
unpopular
doubt.
Views.
Yes, yes.
And, you know, but you know what? Don't put yourself out there.
Right.
Don't put yourself in a national forum where your attitude can be discussed. I mean, you look at, you know, people have just been fired from their jobs. I mean, please. I mean, one of our other podcasts happens to be Big Brother.
Right.
You look at some of the contestants last year in Big Brother. There
right.
were a ton of people that lost their jobs.
Right.
So I was curious as to the impact
mm-hmm.
this situation had
mm-hmm.
on
yeah,
Andrew's
because
job. And he did say he suffered some repercussions.
Yeah, he didn't say exactly what, but I'm assuming People have said some things. I don't know if he's lost his job per se, but maybe contracts, maybe clients, maybe people have questioned him. And like, in this day and age, there are so many ways for people to reach you and tell you just how they feel about you, or get, you know, get on any number of social media platforms and just like rip you apart, and
exactly.
And online. And I didn't want to believe he said it either. And I didn't, because of the whole timing of when JJ mentioned it, I found that to be a little fishy. And I was hoping that also he didn't make up a lie like that, because as we discussed in the podcast episode where this all went down, like, that's a horrible thing to say against someone just to, you know, get them out of the position that you think they're in with, you know, on this reality dating right. show. That's ridiculous. But the more that this was discussed on this episode, I have to agree that I think Andrew said it. I think Farmer Chris's reaction was like, I was like, whoa. Andy, that's a real man.
Actually, a pantsapreneur.
Hmm?
He was pissed at pantsapreneur.
Oh, yeah, he was pissed because, why didn't you say something sooner? Why did you, when did it become an issue for you that, you just had to say something later versus sooner? So he was, that's what I meant. Chris was, forget the idiot Andrew and what he said, but JJ, you know, who brought this to Marcus's attention, like, he found it really shady about the timing of it, you know.
And made it
perfectly clear that he did not respect him for it.
Yeah. I mean, and I will say, in his defense, it is a rather uncomfortable topic.
Right.
And what's he going to say at the time? Hey, man, let's stop the presses. This guy just made a very terrible
yes.
comment.
Right.
You know, I mean, dudes are going to be dudes.
Right.
And at that moment, they're mm-hmm. not going to be like, unless you say something that's personally offensive to them.
Right.
I think it's hard to get a guy to, you know, it's like that whole bros before hoes mentality.
Yes.
To someone, it's like bro code, whatever people want to say.
The man code, yep.
Yeah, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. I mean, I just think guys have a really tough time actually being... I feel like they are confrontational, but they have to think it through before they are.
Definitely.
Unless it's personally offensive to them.
Right, right. I don't think he was holding on to, as I did, you know, I was hoping that he didn't. So I agree. Like, and Markel even said as much. I don't care about the timing. I don't care, you know, he completely believes JJ on this one.
Right.
And it was another telling thing for me is like, Andrew kept apologizing for something he said he didn't do.
Yeah.
So, with that, you know, I think we solved that drama. We didn't have, you know, audio. We had that whole lean in business thing that went on, though. And so, I think it definitely proved that Andrew said what the pantspreneur said he said. So, that was a mess.
It was a terrible mess. I'm kind of to be completely over. I'm like over
right.
it, and I just want to be done
Let's,
with that
yeah,
horrifying, hopefully. Horrifying like situation. Because no one wants to be in it.
No.
And it's sad.
Oh my God! But to add more uncomfortableness to the situation, Andrew, at some point during his explanation or talking about the situation, called Markel Ron.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Did you see that?
Yes, I did. And he's like, Markel, why is
here?
Oh.
I was like, ooh.
Yeah.
Wrong black guy, but at this, it was like uncomfortable, but I laughed my ass off. I was like, because
yeah,
Mark.
I just did the oh.
Yeah, I was like, ooh.
I don't even think I laughed. I just did the oh.
Dude, you're kind of proving this whole thing right here, right now.
I mean, y'all look the same, right?
Yeah, right, exactly.
I, what you really wanted to say.
Oh, it was so
awful.
He stopped
like he was going to say something.
He did.
Didn't he?
He has so much class.
Oh, my God.
Because I would have been like, so, what are you trying to say?
I know. Even I probably would have, like, lashed out at that.
Just to make him feel a little bit more uncomfortable.
Right.
I'm all about that.
I love that about you, Rennie.
Thank you.
I love so much about you.
Oh, dear. Be still my heart. Well, after we finally put a rest to that whole horrific Andrew drama, Chris Harrison talked a little bit about the person who this show is about, Andy, and how come he didn't get further with Andy and what exactly happened there. It was just briefly.
With Markel, you mean?
Yes. Markel and Andy didn't get further.
What's up with Markel's cookie boutonniere?
Markel, you know, I appreciate a man who has good fashion sense and that.
He's an inventive dresser.
Haberdashery.
Totally true.
But.
Very much a haberdasher. Totally agree.
Must you wear every color and every print same time?
Interesting, because he thinks about his clothes.
He does.
You totally see, like, everything is incredibly deliberate.
It's very deliberate. And, you know,
you can't hate on a guy who has got that fashion, that type of fashion sense. But you can question.
Yes.
If he's there for Andy.
Markel? Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can't question it. They're for the right reasons.
That's right. Because, my goodness, that type of flair is really, really uncommon. To say the least.
It is super uncommon. And
not that's so non-PC of me.
No, it's not.
I'm not offending anyone. Actually, I don't give a shit.
No. I have a whole other part of this podcast where I plan on offending our listeners.
I love that.
So,
offend. Just, do I offend? Oh, I do? Okay, great.
Yeah, perfect. I was cracking up because he and JJ have on the same salmon mauve pants.
I know, right?
Oh, I was like, samesies. Ah, God. So, yeah, anyway, he just told Chris Harrison, basically, he got friend-zoned. Point blank. They had more of a fun brother, sister, or friend from high school relationship versus anything romantic, you know, that was ever going to pop off between Andy and Markel. So, but I thought it was funny because he was like, I didn't realize the guys were kissing her so soon.
I know. I mean, it was a lot of kissing. Mm-hmm. I totally was, you know, so many problems. I will never forget this when, I don't know if you were watching it back in the day. What's the first Bachelorette, which was Trista Wren.
Mm-hmm.
She ended up getting married to Ryan and all that stuff.
Right.
But I remember her particular season, mm-hmm. and she was nowhere near Andy's makeout session, even though I don't even know what that is.
Right.
Like, can you hear that?
What is
that noise?
No.
That doo-doo thing. Okay. So I, sorry. So I remember there being such a chatter.
Mm-hmm.
This is 2000, so I guess it was like, oh my god, has it been that long?
Yeah.
Wow. Yes. 2000, 2002, something like that.
You're right.
And I remember there being such a chatter that there was going to be a female bachelorette, and that were people ready to see a woman be the aggressor and or the pursuer,
exactly.
and or sexual,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
even if it just meant, I mean, obviously no hanky-panky
all over the place,
you know,
right, yeah.
kissing or whatever, but
yeah.
On national TV, and I look back on that, and then I look at Andy's season, and that homegirl is, like, got her tongue in
everybody's mouth.
Like, you know, I mean, it's just all over the place. And it's just completely different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't seem to remember. That was a long time ago.
It was a long time ago.
God,
we were but young ones.
I had no idea it had been that long, but I do seem to recall, I don't remember at all. You know, I don't remember or recall Trista or some of the earlier bachelorettes doing that much kissing with everybody. Maybe they did. I know.
They didn't.
I think Desiree kissed quite a few.
Right. And I think with every season,
it's more.
More and more. You know, I think women are becoming freer with with their, you know, wants and everything.
Right.
But I just thought it was a very interesting issue, a very interesting...
Like observation, right, based on past ones,
Right. And, you know, to me, I think it just says a lot about where we are as women. Yeah. Look at me, like, reaching deep.
Oh, yeah, you really are.
During the Men Tell All Bachelorette podcast. What's up?
Oh, God.
Sorry, go ahead.
This is feminism. This is the feminism part of the...
This is the third wave of feminism I'm talking about.
Oh, good. But it's the truth, though. I mean, I'm sure if we went back, because all of these things are, like, on YouTube or somewhere you can watch, like, all these past seasons, I would like to see... Maybe they just show it more, but... there's no way, like, Trista was meeting up with these guys for these one-on-ones and just, like, nuzzling their necks and giving Eskimo kisses. Oh, gosh. But anyway, Markell realized they weren't going anywhere, but there was a ton of kissing going on. He just wasn't invited to that show.
Yeah.
Next up, Chris Harrison talks to Marcus. Marcus is the rental, the Mercedes-Benz renter guy, and he made it to the Final Four, which means he had a hometown visit, and she got to meet his family, and nothing. And?
Yes, I'm here. I'm here. I'm just listening to you. I mean, what is there to say?
He still looks devastated.
You know, I think Marcus was... in fact, Chris Harrison discussed about it, discusses with him. He's not allowed to reveal what's happening on Bachelor in Paradise because, as we all know, he's on it.
Yes, yes.
So I think that Cody is going to be very interesting. Mm-hmm. To watch.
Okay.
I'm fascinated.
Okay. All right. I just didn't think that Marcus is going to be on.
Oh, I'm sorry. Marcus.
Yes, Marcus.
For some reason, I thought we were talking about Cody.
No, Marcus.
Marcus, as far as Marcus, spoiler alert, so if you're not interested in hearing this, but I've heard rumblings that something did happen with Marcus on Bachelor Pad. So now, Marcus has kind of taken a step back during that whole Men Tell All, and he starts saying, you know, oh well, I wasn't, you know, yes, I rushed into it, but you know, I maybe too much. I mean, he does look sad, but I think that he's just normally like a sad looking fellow.
I think so too, because he just he said he didn't have any regrets about falling so fast, but remember when This was so heartbreaking to sit there and watch with the entire studio audience along with him this whole breakup scene once again with Andy on national TV. And he looked like he was tearing up a little bit. But you're right, though. He does look kind of like a sad-looking fella.
He's just like, I just feel like that's his thing.
Yeah.
He's just kind of got like that face. Right. And I don't know. There was nothing to him that... There's something that's going on Bachelor Pad with him. I don't know what it is. I don't know if he is. I've heard rumors that he's engaged. I've heard rumors that he's in a relationship. I've heard rumors about a number of different things.
Okay.
I think the guys from this season will be interesting to watch most of all on Bachelor in Paradise, mainly because they're the freshest in our minds.
Right. Exactly.
So right now, I'm looking for Dylan. I'm looking for Cody. I'm looking for Marcus. And I'm curious to see how they behave because I think that we do, you know them well, and we did see a side of them, but what happens when they're taken out of their you know, pursuing a one woman and are just open to pursuing a ton of different women. Like, Dylan, to me, looked like a completely different guy on this show.
Oh, my God. I wanted to, yeah, I definitely had that, you know.
Am I nuts?
No.
He looked like a completely different guy, right?
He looked a million times better and cleaner.
Right.
He looked like a million bucks. He looked damn good. Yeah. I didn't like him. I didn't think he was a good-looking guy during. And, I mean, I shouldn't say I didn't like him. I just, on the most basic, shallow level, I didn't find him to be all that attractive. And part of it was, too, that he was just so damn sad. He was on that sad-ass episode.
Yeah.
I didn't feel like he was, you know, mentally ready to be, you know, on this reality show, but... He looked lighthearted last night. He was smiling and laughing a lot. He was relaxed. He had his hair done. He looked clean. Had a nice, you know, fitting suit on. So he looked completely different to me.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. And so I'm super interested to see how he and Cody and Marcus do this for this next show.
Right. And the third one-on-one sit down on the stage with Mr. Chris Harrison was our boy Farmer Chris.
Oh, bless his little pea-picking heart. Mm. I mean, there's this guy. I love this guy. There's nothing that I love more than this guy. I mean, except for my own guy.
Right.
That sounds a little creepy, honey. If you are listening to this, I certainly love you more than Farmer Chris.
Just a tad.
Just a tad. But yeah, I just feel like there's nothing I don't like about this guy. I love his family. I like his attitude. I think he's sweet. I think he's great looking. I think he's a good person. Mm-hmm. I enjoy how polite and just well-mannered he is.
Mm-hmm.
He knows how to treat a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't think, surprisingly, for a lot of these fellows who are, you know, on these shows,
you're right.
This is an old-fashioned guy.
He is.
Like, he's an old-fashioned gentleman.
And you know what comes to mind when you said what you just said is that Andy's always throwing out that compliment. He's such a man. He's a real... And I think she used that with Chris one time. And he is. He is definitely a real man in knowing how to treat a woman. Very polite. He's really laid back. But not afraid to, like, jump out there and be like, whoa. Like, stand up. He's not passive. Great family, good looking guy. He lives in that grown up home. What's not to love about this guy? And he's not on Bachelor in Paradise, so what's going to happen there? Don't know. I think we may see Farmer Chris as the next Bachelor, but that remains to be seen. Again, with Chris, we get to see, we get to revisit and watch again the breakup scene with he and Andy. And Chris was actually one of the final three aiming to make it to the Boom Boom Room, to the Fantasy Suites, as some of you may know it. And Antonella, I hope she's still with me. Hey there. Farmer Chris was aiming to make it to the Fantasy Suites room as one of the final three, but before that was going to occur, things took a turn, and the breakup scene with he and Andy occurred. I don't know where I'm. I think I lost my co-host here. Hold on. Okay, I have to apologize for that. I thought I lost you, but my co-host has not been lost.
I'm here.
She had a little technical difficulty on her end while I just...
That's right.
I was just rambling on about Farmer Chris's. I was just getting to the point where
we're loving on Farmer Chris.
Yeah, I was just getting to the point where, of course we love Farmer Chris, but this part I didn't love. We had to sit and rewatch the breakup scene between Farmer Chris and Andy in front of all of America, along with Farmer Chris. So That was also pretty painful, but not as painful as the one scene where we rewatched with Marcus, I didn't think anyway. But painful just the same. But notice that they didn't mention him being on Bachelor in Paradise, is what I said.
Yeah.
So do you think there's a shot at him fulfilling our wishes and dreams and becoming the new
Bachelor?
Yeah.
You know, I'm so prompted by my absolute disdain for Bachelor producers, because these people, I don't know why things need to be like spelled out for them. I decided to do a little digging and mm-hmm. see what I could find online about some rumors. And apparently there is no plan to have Chris. It's going to be a grassroots effort, ladies. So okay. I think everyone should tweet Bachelor Nation and demand that Farmer Chris is our next Bachelor. Because, look, I mean, there's really not another guy that's been, you know, the way that this happens, yes. as we all know, is you're a contestant on one and then you get bumped up to the next or right. vice versa. You know what right. I mean? So, I think part of it for me is I don't think there's been a better guy out there like that I would be interested in watching it. And, you know, the truth is, you know, we had a misstep with Juan Pablo because I think he's obviously off the reservation.
Right.
But he also went out relatively early in the season.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think he was probably in the first
five or so. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't as though we had a lot of time to get to know Juan Pablo, and he's just sort of came out of nowhere.
Right.
You know, with the crazy. Whereas I think we've been able to establish an excellent relationship with Farmer Chris.
Right.
I mean, you know, we've gotten to know him. We've met his family. We see the type of guy he is. We've seen his home. We've seen his farm. We've seen his, everybody knows what the heck's going on with this guy.
Right.
And I think he'd be a phenomenal bachelor, but you know, that's just me.
I think so too. I was wondering about the whole grassroots effort versus doing things the way they normally do. Sometimes I get sick of the recycling and it being the next person and the next person. It's kind of like an easy way out, but I feel like he's the perfect new bachelor. But I kind of figured they were going to go with a fresh batch when at the end of the episodes you kind of see the auditions for signing up to be the new bachelor, if you're interested, blah blah blah. So I have a feeling that maybe they were going to go that route, but maybe they could just be throwing us off their scent as well. Anyway, I hope we get to see him in some shape or form. Oh god, that doesn't sound right. I hope we get to see more of Farmer Chris some way, somehow.
Yes.
Because he's a great guy. And I was smitten.
Yes.
Between him and Josh from the very beginning, I thought that they were just super good-looking guys, and just more so Farmer Chris, just a really great guy, too. So, but also, we knew that whole Iowa business was going to be probably a deal-breaker.
Right. Well, you know what, though? This is what we know. We know that if, you know, he is the next Bachelor mm-hmm. and the gals know, you know, that's what the option is, they're going to go to Iowa.
Yep.
I think they'll come there prepared. Look, yes, Iowa's exactly. not a bad place to be. I don't know why everybody's like, oh, freaking Iowa.
Right, I know.
Fantastic.
I know.
You know, the cost of living's fantastic, you know, and you get to look at that every day. Are you kidding?
Right. Great place to raise a family.
I think that, yeah, perfect.
God, but... we'll see. We'll see if we see Chris in another show or time. So, who knows?
And then what's up with the audience member?
Yes, let's talk about the audience member.
I mean, Plant, maybe. I mean, I don't know. I thought it was kind of ridiculous.
It was very
ridiculous.
It was
even more ridiculous that they allowed it. First and foremost, even if that was a scripted situation, to me,
it was
that
a bad script.
Yeah, it was a bad script because it's going to prompt people to do this again.
Yeah.
Because they see it's a way to get up there and a way to meet people.
Right.
And, you know, you get some of these bawdy people who have no concept of, you know, class or togetherness or anything else. And what do you have? You have a complete anarchy and people acting fool.
Right.
So, okay, that's it. There's my...
Yeah, I don't have much to say about her either. I just know when she said her name was Ketra, I was like, more like Despera. And who planted this chick in the audience when we just want to get through this 2 hours? So they had a little staged speed date, and he met her and was very gracious in speaking to her. She looked all kinds of crazy. Ridiculous. So that's all I want to say about her. I didn't need to see her. It was kind of... I hope it doesn't, like you say, set a precedent where we just have these crazy... I was getting ready to say the B word. Anyway, crazy...
Well,
yeah.
The B word. I haven't dropped the F word, so feel
crazy
free.
Bitches just dropping by the Bachelorette live tapings and just turning it into, you know, can I come up and meet one of the departed contestants or, you know, bachelors or whatever, but hey, that was enough of her. That's enough about her. Just odd and scripted, and it didn't really fit, so. Next up, let's get to the part of the show where we do care about, and that's Ms. Dorfman.
Everybody questioning Andy about their particular circumstance.
Yes.
So what do we have? Chris asks, what does Chris ask? Something about why, what does he ask?
Chris wants to know, basically, like, was it the Iowa thing or,
the Iowa thing.
And she felt like it was more of them not having built a foundation thing, and the Iowa thing wasn't really the reason why. It was more that she just didn't feel like she was at that point with him to share the boom boom room.
That's right.
And so she just wasn't there with him, and basically, I didn't want to spend the night with you, which I don't know why.
And I think he took that very well, kind of just humbly and sweetly, and yay, Chris for Bachelor. Yep. Next one, please. Yep. So we can have something to talk about in this podcast. Marcus asks pretty much the same question. Like, you kissed everybody else. What's up with me?
Right.
And basically she's like, hey, buddy, you know, we're pals.
Right.
Which is kind of interesting.
Oh, you mean Cody. Cody. That's what Cody, that was Cody who was like, you kissed everybody else. Marcus was the one, his question was basically, did I scare you off with, you know, saying I love you too fast, or trying to.
I met Markel. I get too many names.
She kissed them all, though.
She did. But, you know, in that defense, I mean, you got to know if there's, like, that physicality there. Mm-hmm. I mean, as much as you want to believe, like, you know.
That's true.
I've got to stop saying, like, so much. I think that as much as you know the physicality or that you like somebody, you don't know the physicality of it. And without that, I don't think there's a romantic situation.
Right.
My point O2.
I agree. It's a kind of a double standard. We watched Juan Pablo kiss every single girl last season.
Every girl. Except for that one, that poor mother who wanted to kiss.
Oh, God, Renee. Yeah, she was begging for it. And I think he finally, like, kissed her on the forehead and threw her a bone. But, they just all took turns. Not all, but, you know, the main few who were there towards the end got a moment to ask, you know, why wasn't it me? And,
Nothing exciting.
Cody, nothing
that we didn't know came out here.
But I thought it was pretty funny when she gave Cody his explanation. I mean, true, she felt like, let's end it right here. I don't have to drag you to the rose ceremony. But she was basically like, hey, I did you a favor. I didn't, like, drag you to the rose ceremony. I let you know right up front. So that was that. It really wasn't that much of a hot seat. That crazy dude from the very first couple episodes, I think it might have been the second episode. No. Yeah, it was the second episode, and they were having a rose ceremony, and Chris Patowski showed up.
It's Pakowski.
What is it?
Bukowski. Bukowski.
Okay. Bukowski shows up again. And they plug The Bachelor in Paradise again. With this fool. And then next we have Chris Harrison decides to break out those lie detector results again.
Yeah, how do you feel about this? I thought that was kind of a weird thing. Like, especially considering some of these folks are, you know, are donezo. Like, I mean, I don't know. I just don't think there's a reason. I don't know. It was cute, but, you know,
it wasn't a reason. It wasn't a reason to break it out again, and I thought that was, like, kind of putting her on the spot, knowing that she still has two of those dudes left, about wanting to see the lie detector results live, you know. But they also must have known that she wouldn't, because, God forbid, she finds out something right there during the taping that will affect the next taping, so I think they probably kind of planned that as well. It was kind of pointless. They just talked a little bit about more about some of the results of the other guys, not the fellas that are still, not Nick and Josh. So
no,
but
we saw some bloopers.
We got to see some bloopers.
Nothing really that funny.
Nothing really that funny. I did note at one point though, Chris Harrison refers to himself as Daddy when he breaks out the lie detector results. I don't know if you caught that. But I wanted to say,
I bet you Chris Harrison is not the only one who's referred to his daddy from the Bachelor franchise. That's all I have to say.
Oh my gosh.
Ooh. I did take it there. And
yes,
one.
You did. But mm-hmm. Yeah, the only funny bloopers, I think she was maybe doing like some nasal medicine and she asked that it not be a blooper. And of course it showed up on the blooper reel, but there weren't any super fantastic bloopers there, but so very end we get our final look at Josh and Nick, a couple flashbacks that they showed last episode before the mental anyway, before the fantasy suites we had little flashback montages too, so a lot of the same footage that we saw then we saw again during the mental yep. all. Nothing super revealing yet again.
No. Mm-hmm.
And so we're at the end of this episode now.
That's
can't
wait till next week. Not only do we get the final rose,
mm-hmm.
we get to see Andy's dad.
I know, I cannot wait. Because they show a scene of him and he's just looking like, what? Tell me no more lies. So
I love it. It's fantastic.
Yeah. So, and then, we'll have the finale next week. And then after that, I think there's after the final rose, which I think that might actually air right after the finale, but we're going to break this down one by one. I believe, I don't know if the final rose will require a second podcast, but we'll determine if we just combine the two or if we'll break them down one by one. But I don't really think I have a whole lot left to say about this episode. There was lots of Bachelor in Paradise plugging.
We'll be watching, will you?
We will be watching. And
come join us.
Come join us.
Let's make fun of people.
It'll be awesome.
It'll be awesome. There's lots of crying.
Mainly from Claire.
But in a funny way.
Yeah, mainly from Claire, from what I saw.
She's a crier, that
She's
one.
She's a crier. So, all right, with that said, I am going
Thanks, honey. Thank
you. Thank everybody for joining us and following us on Twitter or subscribing to our little podcast, either on iTunes or perhaps you've seen it on a link through Buzzsprout or supposing you may have seen it on Rennie's Reality Podcast Facebook page or just maybe having done a search for Red Rose Recap or seeing us on Twitter at Antonella B or at Renita Really. Whichever way you've come across this podcast, we do thank you. We're having a ton of fun and
we really are.
By next season's Bachelorette or Bachelor, we hope to have like a more professional sounding one, but you get the gist of it. We give you the lowdown, you know, without a lot of overproduction.
Or any production.
There's little to no production, so
that's right.
Anyway, we're gonna end it here, and see you next week. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.